Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another, so that you do not the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now if the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, emulations, wrath, quarrels, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I foretell you, as I have foretold you, that they who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, longanimity, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified their flesh with the vices and concupiscences. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will sustain the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, be not solicitous for your life, what you shall eat, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? Behold the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not you of much more value than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And for raiment, why are you solicitous? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They labor not, neither do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more you, O ye of little faith? Be not solicitous, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the heathen seek. For your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. No man can serve two masters. Important words of the Gospel for today, in which we consider that we in our lives are such that we are to serve. We cannot serve two masters. It's giving an indication of, it's indicating that there are two possibilities, two and no more. And it's something that actually was presented to us a long time ago, the idea of who shall we serve. It says we cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon in Scripture specifically or particularly refers to money or wealth or worldly things. The reference that is made that refers to something much earlier in our spiritual life refers to something that we know that we were asked the first time we came into the Catholic Church. It has to do with the sacrament of baptism. Sacrament of baptism, we were, of course, made children of God, heirs of heaven. But in order to do that, we were first asked certain questions. It's interesting, there's a work of St. John Eudes, which is entitled Man's Contract with God in Baptism, in which he states that there is a contract made between man and God in baptism. Of course, we are made children of God and heirs of heaven, but it is on condition that we keep our part of the bargain, our part of the contract. And so, in so doing, we make certain promises. We attest to certain things before we are admitted to the sacrament. The first thing that we are asked before we are admitted to the sacrament is, do you renounce Satan? Do you renounce all of his pomps? And we say we do renounce them. We do renounce him. It's an important thing that we do when we say we renounce Satan. Again, it says we cannot serve two masters. It is something that, of course, we are faced with every day in our life here below. Who are we going to serve? It's interesting to note that. It's interesting, I'll make a few references to the book that St. John Hughes wrote. He talks about the first promise to renounce the pomps of Satan. He says that it was thus how, in this way, that he seduced our first parents. It's by this promise of the knowledge of good and evil. He promised them some sort of a gain by working to serve him. And of course, as we know, our first parents succumbed to that proposition made by Satan. It's even something that was used to tempt our Lord himself. Our Lord himself was tempted by Satan. He was told that he could have all the kingdoms of the world if he would but bow down and adore Satan. It's always these kinds of temptations that are here. The ideas of somehow working to somehow make a compromise that we can somehow be such that we serve this world in which we live, to serve those of the world, to serve worldly things, to serve material things, in order to make some sort of an ability so that we can be such that we're satisfied by the pleasures of this life, the cares of this life, satisfied by them, pleased by them. It says, the Satan invariably holds out some hope of temporal advantage to those who will follow him. Some sort of a pleasure, some sort of a delight for those who will follow him. And some of us then, in fact, more than some, many, follow him. According to St. John Hughes in his text, he says, thousands of Christians daily yield to this temptation. They yield to that temptation and lose eternal happiness of other life to enjoy the false pleasures of this world. Something that goes on, and it's something that is insidiously presented to us in our daily life. Somehow you are going to be made happy by the things of this world. Somehow it's going to satisfy the things that you are attracted to. It's, you know, it's something that's presented, as I say, all the time. It is such that it's something that's against the first commandment. To have strange gods before him is what we are tempted to do. And they can take different forms. All the different forms of entertainment. Whether they be all the things that you see on screens of varying sizes are temptations to us. You know, the pleasures of this life, you know, just incessantly, just for hours, whiling away your time playing video games. Something that's a temptation. All of the things that are temptations to you by forms of entertainment on these screens. They're there. All the forms of the idea of sports entertainment. Again, all these things that are there. they pull us away from serving God because of the fact that they are somehow such that they're going to satisfy us here and now. It's all the enjoyment that we have here and now that's going to somehow be such that they pull us away from the things of God. And even though those people who know of the things of God, they end up somehow wanting to make some sort of a compromise where I can serve God and have all these enjoyments as well. And of course, of all the carnal pleasures that St. Paul speaks of in the epistle, again, ways to pull people away from God and their temptations, subtle as they may be, to pull us away, to not think of the things of God, to compromise the things that we're meant to do. Somehow we're going to be able to do both. It's clear in the gospel. It says, no, you cannot. You cannot serve two masters, one or the other. It's interesting to see some of the other gospels that are linked to and close to this particular gospel. The idea of what it is that we need to serve God. And of course, in a previous gospel, very recently, it says, the Lord asks the Pharisee, what are the commandments of God? To love God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all you have in you. Everything. To devote everything to God. And secondly, then, to love your neighbor as yourself for the sake of God. And of course, then the presentation of the Good Samaritan, story of the Good Samaritan. We cannot have a divided love. We cannot have a love which is split. We cannot have a love that is such that it's, yes, maybe we love God on Sunday, but the rest of the week we concern ourselves with other things. It's whole and entire, 100%. It's interesting to see, that we place such importance on the things of this world to the point where they become obstacles to our salvation, to our sanctification. How much time do we really spend working to serve God, to think of Him, to refer to Him? The things of God oftentimes for many become somewhat burdensome, somewhat something that kind of is irksome in what you're doing, and you kind of find them very distasteful, or at least that they become laborsome. For instance, probably listening to the sermon is probably a bit of a labor for you. When's he going to get done? When's Mass going to get over with? When can I do something fun? We have this problem, okay? The idea of serving God and of wanting to do what He wants is something that many people find somewhat troublesome. Whereas, by consequence, let's think about it on the other hand, people who are watching a movie for 3 hours have no problem sitting there for watching this movie, which is rather heated, for 2 or 3 hours. They have no trouble doing that. They have no trouble watching a football game that lasts for 2 hours. They have no trouble, spending hours of time on their Facebook or their social media. But this hour to hour and a half of Mass is becoming kind of boring. Okay. So we can kind of see where we have these problems and these difficulties in understanding what our priorities need to be. It's not to say that we don't use material things. We are material creatures, and we do need to use material things. Saint Ignatius will explain the way in which we use material things, created things, for our use. He says that we need to use material things, created things, insofar as they help us towards our eternal end and no more. If they become an obstacle to our spiritual life, then we need to put them down. We need to rid ourselves of them. Our Lord is rather emphatic about this elsewhere in Scripture. He says, if our eye is such that it will keep us from getting to heaven, take your eye and pluck it out. If your arm is such that it keeps you from getting to heaven, cut it off. It's pretty drastic. He's speaking because he wants to make people clear of what they need to do. It's also interesting to see, I've seen that St. Alphonsus Liguori, and also here in the book St. John Hughes, says the same thing, talking about our life here on earth. We are a pilgrim here on earth, and we have to realize that this is a pilgrimage, and that we should not cling to the things of this earth. They make a comparison to the things of this earth and our time here on earth as a stay that we have in a hotel or an inn where we are staying for the night. We need to hold on to things no more than we do for the things that when we're staying in the inn or the motel for our night stay. Because it's only a means to an end. It's only a means to an end. And so we need to be detached from these things. Here he says also, St. John Hughes says also, he says, there can be no exception with regard to detachment of material things. Our Lord desires that the Christian should devote himself to, he should not devote himself to father or mother, brother or sister, or even to his own life, to be the point where it's to the expense of his salvation. And he declares in most explicit manner that he who preserves an attachment for any material thing cannot be a disciple of our Lord. So it's interesting that our Lord wants us to follow after him at all costs. At all costs. That's why we see the martyrs. We see the martyrs following our Lord at all costs. And if they're asked to make a compromise, they will make no compromise. They are following our Lord. They make no compromise. And so we, of course, think of them. We invoke their intercession. They are saints in heaven. And we need to also really realize that we cannot make compromises when it comes to our spiritual life, our supernatural life, our life with God. All these things which we think are so important will mean nothing save our own spiritual life when we come to the end of our life. Think of right now those people that are in Florida that are facing a terrible hurricane. What do you think they realize? Do they realize what's important? Some of them probably do. And they realize all the material things that they have mean nothing relative to what they need to do in order to save their lives, especially their supernatural life. So we have to keep in mind the proper priorities, the proper perspective on things, so that we can work to honor God, to do what he wants, to serve him always. There are consoling words at the end of the gospel that also that we need to make sure that we take care of the things of God. We need to preserve our interest in him. We need to keep him as being a priority. And if we do so, we first consider the kingdom of God and his justice. God will take care of us in our earthly life here below, and it will in the end take us to be with him for all eternity in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.